Thanks for letting me do my Christmas song. Here's Christy with announcements.
Okay, sorry. It was like an obstacle course trying to get from back there to here. Couldn't figure out how to get here. Girls, it's our last one. Everybody make the pouty lip. Sadness and sorrow. You girls have been so adorable to see week after week after week, and I love you girls so much. Our Christmas dinner is coming up so soon. I don't know if you guys got the little flyers for it, but it's good things come in small packages. And the tickets are only $15, which I personally love that they're only $15. You see some women's Christmas events that are $30, $50, $60, and you're thinking, who has that money in December? But if you save a couple of dollars, just don't go to Starbucks or don't buy a hamburger. From now until that time, you'll have $15. You can do this, girls. You can come. And I also want to ask you to pray, because the main focus of this night is as an outreach tool. And we can try to figure out who we want to invite, or we can just say, oh, I don't invite people because that's a scary thing. But I just want to encourage you girls to pray. Just ask God, do you have somebody? Do you have somebody that you want me to ask? Because it might be the very person that you were thinking of, which is awesome. Ask them. Or it might be a person that you never even would have pulled out of your head that God wants to do an amazing work in. that night. God knows the words that will be spoken. God knows the message that will be said. God knows the fellowship. God knows the songs. And he knows exactly who he wants to be there to hear those words. So girls, I encourage you right now, start praying. Grab your husband. Grab your friends. Grab your kids. Lord, who do you want me to invite to the women's Christmas night? And I also want to encourage you guys to buy your tickets early. There's reserved seating. So it's not like completely unlimited. So buy your tickets early, and maybe a little challenge, buy an extra ticket before you even know who you're going to invite, because that way you'll definitely invite somebody. So that's coming up, and we still would love more servants on Thursday night to help set up and on Friday night to help clean up. So pray and be involved in that. We need people to help with that, and you guys are so amazing and talented and hardworking. I know you would do a great job with that. And we're on break after tonight, which is sad, but we'll be back in January, which I'm actually hoping that we'll be in heaven in Women's Bible Study in January. That'd be really, really good. Be awesome to be in heaven for that, but if not, we'll be back in January, so keep your ears open for what's coming up there. And also in January, Debbie Bryson's taking a group of girls to Russia, which I think we have a little slide about scarves. They're collecting scarves this year to take to the girls in Russia. And I love, at Calvary Chapel Paris, we were always part of this donating and gathering for the girls in Russia, and it is such a fun thing to be a part of, to bless people that you don't even know. And what we would always do is we would pray over the little things as we would put them in the basket for the girls who are going to receive them and get them, that they would know God and that somehow it would make them love Jesus even more and that they would be blessed. So pray about donating a scarf for the girls in Russia. And I encourage you guys to get them now, because, you know, you could wait until after Christmas because the trip isn't until January. But then they're like picked over and expensive. But right now they're all out and shiny and pretty and cheap. So go ahead and get them now. And every store has adorable scarves. Do you guys not walk into all the stores and just see the cute little adorable scarves? And I always want it. There's my Barb. Oh, okay, sorry. She made me interrupt myself, but she's so cute. Everybody look at Barb. That's one of my favorite people in the world. Hi, Barb. Yay. And girls, I want to encourage you tonight, as you leave, we have been so blessed by not only God as our protector, but by our sweet little security guards out in the parking lot who are watching over our cars and making sure that we have eaten enough and fellowshiped long enough and make it safely back home. So I want to encourage you girls to tell them thank you as you leave the parking lot, and just say thank you and God bless you. And as I was praying for you guys this morning, my last thing that I was going to say, in the one-year Bible today, we finished Hebrews chapter 11. And what I was just so impacted by is that they all had their little talents. They all had their little niches. They all had their little things that they were called to do. But more than anything, they were those that were sold out radically in love with God and willing to do anything. That verse that the world was not worthy of them, and they wandered around in caves and dens. And the world is not worthy of you girls. You guys are amazing. You love God. You're passionate for God. You're sweet. You're giving. And I just want to tell you that as I stand up here each night, each Monday night, I just think the world's not worthy of you. You guys are amazing. And you guys have such an amazing reward in heaven for your beautiful smiles, for your giving hearts, your giving hands. You guys are the sweetest group of women. Oh, wait, in case Paris is listening to this, you are one of the sweetest group of women that I have ever met. And just to close in a verse in 1 Peter 1:8, it says, "Whom having not seen you love," talking about Jesus, "though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And like I said, girls, I will see you back here in January, but I'm praying that we're in heaven seeing each other and worshiping God. So with that, let's worship, and maybe he'll come right now. So be ready.
That would be amazing. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much that we have this time to come before you and worship you, Father. And I just pray now that as we do, that you would just wipe away all the distractions of this day, all the thoughts that are on our minds, Lord, just work, family, everything, Lord, that we would just focus on you and enter into your throne room this night, Lord. We thank you and pray in your name. Amen. You guys can stay seated. You can stand wherever you like. Thank you.
adore you.
Lord, we truly do adore you. We thank you so much that we can come into your presence, Lord, and just bow before your feet and worship you, Lord. We thank you that you've given us this opportunity, Lord, and we don't ever, ever want to take it for granted. And Lord, we pray now as we spend this time in your word, Lord, that you would just open our hearts, Lord, make them soft like clay, just to be molded into what you have for us, Lord. There's a special word tonight for each and every single woman in this place, Lord. And I just pray that your spirit would fill this room and just speak to each one of us, Lord. And we thank you so much and commit the rest of this night into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, girls. Oh, the last of our chapters in this precious, powerful, amazing little book, the book of Titus. How many of you started and now you're ending with us? Started and ending? Yeah, that's, you guys have had good staying power. As I thought about coming up here tonight, I thought of the many times I've stood at this podium and looked out at faces. And I'll have to tell you, it's one of my favorite times of my whole week and month and year. I came to this church 23 years ago, and the pastor then was Brian Broderson. The little mental freeze. Who was that? So long ago. And when he first met me, when he first met me, he reached out his hand and he said, "I am so glad to meet you. My wife is going to love you. She loves older women." And, well, I know that's true now, but then I was under 40 and not totally feeling like an older woman, but indeed I was one of the older women of the church and still am one of the older women of the church. And so at times I feel motherly. And Paul wrote this book as kind of fatherly. And in some ways, he kind of turned that nurturing element on. And he certainly was of these people. And there's nothing that will make people you love safer than speaking the truth in love. And he certainly did in this book, didn't he? Didn't he just build them up with good, sound, steady things to hold them strong in a complicated society in which they lived? And so let's turn to Titus chapter 3. As we turn, I'd like Kelly to come up here. Just pop up here one moment. And Kelly just was one of the greeters as we came in tonight. Come on, come on. Pop up here, you silly little Kelly girl. And one of the exciting things about being in Bible study, if you come year after year, is you will see each other grow. And that's an exciting thing. And Kelly's always been dear since the moment I met her. But she was just beaming from ear to ear tonight. And so I just wanted to share about 2 or 3 minutes of a little story that she told me.
Wow, this is scary.
It's just us.
Okay. As most of you know, the last 6 months I've been caregiving for a 91-year-old. And I've been praying with her and just kind of sharing on and off. And she said that she grew up going to like a Lutheran church. And so we've, over the past couple weeks, she's been asking more questions. And so this morning I went into her and she said, "You know, I don't want to say anything negative today. I just want to have a good day." And I said, "Okay, well, we're going to do it my way. We're going to pray and then we're going to get into the word." And she was like, "Okay." And I was like, "Okay." And so I read the scripture to her, and it was John 5:24, "I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God, who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I said to her, Charlotte, do you believe that? And have you ever, you know, asked Jesus into your heart? And she said, no, I haven't. And I said, would you like to do that? And she looked at me and she said, yes, what do I do? And so I prayed, I asked her to repeat the prayer. And then I was reading to her, and she read not only the scripture that I gave her, but she kept going. And she said, I need a bigger thing so I can read. So, you know, I asked a couple weeks ago, I said, is it possible to be a Titus 2 woman to a 91-year-old? And I guess God heard me, because it's all about him. So thanks, guys.
God has divine appointments, and she was kind of shaking as she was telling her little story, and I would imagine that she was kind of shaking as she stepped into that little opportunity. But you know what? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know what? We have the words of life. And we are living in a lost and dying world. And so if you had bread and people around you were starving, how could you not pass it out? If you had the cure for cancer and you kept it wrapped up in your little box and carried it around when you went here and there but never shared it with anybody else, how wrong would that be? And here, we have the real deal, the food for souls. So here we are, the Word of God before us. Lord, we pray that you would fill us up tonight, because oh, how we need it, how we need to be full cups and then to pour out, Lord. And so as we read your words, may they just come alive like they are inside of us. And then, God, may they make a powerful effect that will be like sparks igniting other sparks. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Titus 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish. Yes, we were. We were once disobedient. And don't kid yourself. We were once so deceived. Absolutely. We were once serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating each other. Never forget that. Girls, never forget where you come from. I like that little saying, it's like, I'm not yet what I want to be. I'm not yet what I hope I will be. But oh, praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Never forget. Never forget that. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It took the Holy Spirit to change us. It took the holy blood of Jesus to cleanse us and set us free, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Verse 8 is kind of our keynote tonight. This is a faithful saying, And these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should live like it. Absolutely. Yes, we should. We should live like it. We should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Wonder why it mentions to men. Well, maybe they need us to be full of faith in God and full of good works. And so look at this. This wonderful statement, I believe that it's so timely here at the end of this book, but also it's kind of the threshold as we enter that season of the year called the what? Holidays. The holidays, and you know the original meaning of that is holy days. But the truth is, really the truth is, and all of us know it, they sometimes get very unholy out there. Very unholy out there. And we have to be careful that they don't creep up in us and there's some unholiness going on in us. So this is a really good time to arm up, to brace up, to look ahead of some of the complicated dynamics that will happen in a few months and take these words to heart. Let them be our marching orders, so to speak, as we move ahead. And I think they'll do us good because we need to have the inflow, but we also need to have the outflow, as it says. The inflow is our faith in God. The inflow is this wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit that's poured upon us. I mean, not just dripped upon us like drip, drip, drip. It's poured. It's lavished upon us. His grace is lavished upon us. We need to just drink it in. But there's something called the Dead Sea, and many people don't know what that means. It means there's a sea that is dead. And why would that be? It's because that Dead Sea only has an inflow. It has no outflow, and it becomes stagnant. No life lives in the Dead Sea. And that is true also with a living life. We can take it in and take it in and take it in. But truthfully, if there's no outflow, then things become dead and stagnant in our souls, I believe. And I've seen it happen in my life. And so this is a very good time to talk about this. And so we'll start with that question. Verse 8, let me read it again. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Connect the dots. Okay, question to us, do we believe? The foundational question tonight. Do you believe that God loves you with the everlasting love? Yes. And over here?
Yes.
Okay, well, do you believe? Do you believe that in his love, he sent Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin? Done. Finished. Yes. Yes. Do you believe that? Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. If so, do you believe then that you are completely forgiven? Forgiven. You are forgiven to the depth of you, that there's no lingering hostility that God has towards you. Oh, you got to own that. You're completely. Do you believe that you are then set free from sin? That when sin comes knocking on your door, you don't have to let it in. You can say no to that. Who knows that you can say no to that? About half of you. Knows that. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can say no to it by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not obligated to yield to sin. Do you believe that his Holy Spirit not only pours over you, but dwells in you?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. To transform you. He's got a job to do in you, into his image. Yes, thank you. Do you believe that your name personally is written in the book of life?
Yes.
With indelible ink.
Yes.
And the day it was written in the book of life, the angels rejoiced. Hallelujah. Yeah, that your home is not here. You have citizenship in heaven. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus went to prepare a place for you, that where he is, you may be also?
Yes.
I think I've told you this story before, but one day my granddaughter and I were talking about heaven. I'm talking about how wonderful and great and awesome it is. And I said, oh, baby, when we get to heaven, I hope you live next door. She said, no, Grandma, I'm going to live with you. All righty. Last question. Do you believe that you personally are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created for good works? Not just somebody else, not somebody down the road. Just because you feel like you aren't as shiny as somebody else and you haven't got all the equipment fully operational, God created you for good works. That is your divine destiny. And until you get to it, you will never know what it is to live life. He created you for that and put you on this planet. So if you really, truly, deeply believe these things, and all of you said yes, then God himself is saying to all of us in this room, live like it. Just get to it. Live like it. Live like you mean it. Live intentional. Aim at it. By the power of God, fall on your knees and say, God, by your grace, give me one thing to bless somebody today. That's all it is. It's not doing anything big and dramatic, because God has lots of little precious moments that he wants to bring you into. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. If not you, who? And if not now, when? So if we're the salt of the earth, be salty. Be salty. If salt has lost its flavor, Jesus said, how will it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men. Basically, Jesus was saying, if we're not the salty flavor, if we're not that in this world, if we're not the flavor of Jesus, then people will just push us aside. They'll go, Pimes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That person doesn't seem like Jesus. They don't seem like they have Jesus in their life. And they'll push us aside. They'll just throw us aside. That's good for nothing. Trample that underfoot. People are hungry for the real deal. And you know what? When they taste it, when they get the taste of a real Christian, I'm telling you, they say, I want what she has. Because the things of this world don't satisfy, do they? No. Been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt, right? You and everybody else in this world. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand so it'll give light to the whole house. Girls, girls, we are the light of Christmas. Jesus wants to shine through us. That's the real light that will light up these dark days. I'll tell you what, Christmas is the hardest time of the year. I think I remind you of that every single time this year. More suicides this time this year. Did you know that the statistics of soldiers coming back from combat, that the amount of soldiers that commit suicide are almost equal to the amount of soldiers that died in combat? People are hopeless. They don't know where to turn to. And they have no hope inside of them, no light. And you know what? We can have the divine privilege of being a light in a sorry moment with the checker at Target. that's cranky at you and the line is long and she's working her second job because she's a single mom. Never forget that people are having a hard go out there. They need some light, some shine. They need some hope. They need some comfort. If you've had a hard time, if you're a widow, and I have several friends that are widows, and they're coming close and coming close to their first or second or third year anniversary of being a widow, I'm telling you, these next few months are going to be the hardest little stretch of the year. You feel that loss more than ever. It's a hard go. We can be that sweet touch. Don't forget people that are suffering. Don't forget people that are going through pain. We are that light, so let it shine. God's purpose in this world is to be living proof of the radical and beautiful transformation that His love makes in an ordinary person. Let me read you a story. There was a man in Germany, a village organist. One day he was practicing on the church organ, playing a piece by that master of music, Mendelssohn. I think that's how you say his name. He was not playing very well, though, and a stranger stole into the church and sat in the dimness of a back pew. He noted the imperfections of the organist's performance, and when the latter had ceased playing and was preparing to depart, the stranger made bold to go to him and say, "Sir, would you allow me to play for just a little?" The man said gruffly, "Certainly not. I will not allow anyone to touch that organ but me. I should be glad if you would allow me the privilege." Again, the man made a gruff refusal. The third time, the appeal was granted ungraciously. The stranger sat down, pulled out the stops, and on the same instrument began to play. And oh, what a difference. He played the same piece, but with a wonderful change. It was as if the whole church was filled with heavenly music. The organ asked, "Who are you?" In modesty, the stranger replied, "My name is Mendelssohn." "What?" said the man, now covered with mortification. "Did I refuse you permission to play on my organ?" "Yeah, you did." And I want to say to you, don't let him refuse to play on your organ. Don't. He's got a song to sing to this world through you. So let's look back at verse 1 through 8. I'm going to back it up, and we're just going to tackle a few of these issues that are quite frank, quite down to earth, quite simple and plain, and we must get to. And let's look at them by saying, what does it say, what does it mean, and then what does it mean to me? Number one, it says that we are to obey the rulers and the authorities. And what does that say? It says to obey the rulers and authorities. And what does that mean? Yeah, it does. And so this is actually a very tough one right now, because actually crazy things are going on in our government, are they not? And so we should be exempt, right? I mean, we should only be exempt, and this should only apply to us if we totally 100% agree. And if it was a totally godly government, then right, we would be obedient, right? Well, it doesn't appear that it gave those qualifications, so that might be wrong. It says what it means what it says. At the time of this writing to Titus, Rome was the governing entity, and they were anything but godly. Nero was a madman. He was the ruler. There was political intrigue and corruption. It was the order of the day. Welcome to his world and to ours. Obey the government? How could they do that? And what does that mean? Well, for us, basically means obey the laws. Don't be a law breaker. Bring it on home and to the simple things. It's not a big thing, stop at stop signs. I mean, that's hard for me. I learned to drive in California. I thought a California stop, rolling as you went through it, that slowing down counted, right? I mean, that's how I learned to drive. It's against the law. I should stop that. It's a very convicting story for me this week. Don't be rude to the policeman. If he catches you breaking the law, don't be rude. He's doing the right thing. You did the wrong thing. Laws are, for the most part, good for us. They're good because they're good for us. If we break the laws, if we talk on our phones or text on our phones, someone might get hurt. I mean, it's really as basic as that. It's not a good example for your kids either, you know, or your grandkids or your friends. Just try to do the right thing. Taxes, that's part of the law. And taxes, maybe our taxes in our country are going to get way sky high. And so that's going to be tough. But in Jesus' day, the taxes were sky high. One day, the Pharisees came to trick him in Matthew 22:16. And they said, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard men. Tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes or not?" But they said that to trick him. Jesus said, "Show me your money." So they gave him a coin. And he held it up and he said, "Oh, I say this money, whose inscription is this?" And they said, "Caesar." And he said, "Give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but give to God that which is God's." And I want to tell you, each and every single one of you, God has his inscription on you. His very fingerprints are on you. You were made in his image. And so I want to say to all of us, give to God that which is God's. Caesar's money, you know what? That comes and goes. Just do the right thing. So it's right to pay your taxes. It's right to obey the rules, even when it's hard. But here's a great but. There are moments when God must be honored above any man or government. Back to Titus 2, we're to be a good citizen. But there are times when there's times for civil disobedience. In Acts 5, the high priest had Peter and some others arrested for preaching the gospel. But if you remember the story, an angel did a jailbreak in the middle of the night, did a jailbreak. And in verse 20, they went and they were in this jailbreak situation. And the angel then said to them, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." So they had a decision. Should they break the law? Should they go out? Was it against the law to have a jailbreak? But God had done it, so they obeyed God. And then they were arrested again. In verse 28, the high priest said, "Did we not strictly command you to not teach in his name?" And Peter then spoke boldly the words, "We ought to obey God rather than men." That is the one time for civil disobedience. And it's only for the right reason, not for the convenient reason or when we don't want to and when we just feel rebellious or annoyed. It's when we are called to cross the line from right to wrong, civil disobedience. In Nazi Germany, Christians disobeyed the law and hid Jews. Currently, some doctors and nurses who are commanded to abort babies, they disobey and sometimes lose their job. Teachers disobey when they are commanded by the school system to only teach evolution and to teach mandatedly and authoritatively that we came from monkeys. And some teachers that just disobey, and that's a good thing. We're to be called to do every good work. Back to Titus 3 and all of that. It's just basically to be a good citizen. There's this saying that sometimes people say, oh, she's so heavenly minded, she's no earthly good. Well, you know what? That's wrong. That's wrong. When we're heavenly minded, we should be extreme earthly good. Absolutely. It goes on to break it down. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now, these are our marching orders. Please, if you have a pen and paper, write these down. To speak evil of no one. I'm going to call all of us to this. This is God's standard. And there is a crazy, crazy wrong thing going on is when we're miffed, when we're annoyed, when we're irritated, when we're angry at someone, we use words as weapons. And basically, this is saying, knock it off. This is not God's way. It is something that's so destructive and so hurtful. Speak evil of no one. Now, you can see things that are being done wrong in this world. But basically, there is just no justification to just be mean. Because two wrongs don't make a right. Not ever. Not ever. Speak evil of no one. And as of the Proverbs 31 woman, it says the law of kindness is on her tongue. Don't gossip. Don't slander. And don't use words to fight war. Second one is to be peaceable. I love this. I think there's a whole world that opens up to us because as we look in the next few months, there's going to be a lot of stress heightening. There's going to be people that aren't peaceable. And maybe you have a Thanksgiving appointment with your family and you're thinking it's going to be anything but peaceable. But you know what? We are called to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And sometimes we have no intention to do the war of words, but the war of words get thrown at us. And so what are we to do in a situation like that? Well, the Bible tells us exactly what to do. A soft answer turns away wrath. We're to be a peacemaker. And you know what? That fire that gets thrown around, it can stir up a fire, but if it gets no traction, then it dies down. And that's how we can be a peacemaker. Another way is when peace has been broken, and certainly there's lots of families that peace have been broken. There's friction, there's tension, there's unfairness, there's little wars going on within the family. Is that true? Well, I recently read a story in this book called Peacemakers. And it's one of the first stories in the book. And it just won me over. It's a tremendous story about a family. And there was four siblings, three brothers and a sister. And mother was getting older. There was a handicapped son. And he had lived with his parents his entire life. And then when the mother got older, the handicapped son became the caregiver. And then mom died. And she had left the house to these four siblings. Well, the three brothers said, sell the house. We need the money. Here it is in the will. It is our right. And they started fighting. They sent the sheriff to evict the brother. It was this big family war that was getting ugly. But then they realized that because they were Christians, that tearing a family apart does not please God. And you know what? When a family tears itself apart, no one wins. No one wins at all. And they went to people that helped them talk it through with scripture and pray it through. and they had this meeting, a dinner meeting with the whole family, and they invited this handicapped brother, and he came, and he was braced. He thought everyone was going to attack him. And instead, they presented that brother with a certificate of honor. And they said, "We would like to use this dinner to thank you for taking care of our mother the last years of her life. And we have decided to take the house and split it off and sell the land, but keep the house, and you may live in the house to your dying day." The rest of the family couldn't speak, especially the children of the brothers. And one of the teenagers leaned over and whispered to his sister and said, "Maybe there is a God after all, because there's no way Dad would have ever done this on his own." Powerful. Maybe there is a God. Dad's being nice. It's an awesome thing. Blessed are the peacemakers. So if there's a breach in a relationship, if you're still mad at your mother-in-law from last Thanksgiving, if you're kind of miffed at someone here at the church, if you've had a tiff with a friend, your husband, this is a good policy from now all the way through Christmas and into the new year, and then just, you know, maybe for the rest of your life. Here's a little lesson. I need you to write it down. You need to build a bridge and get over it. Okay, say that with me. Build a bridge and get over it. Okay, a while back, one of my friends and I, we had a tiff, and I was wrong. I misunderstood her. I let my feelings get hurt. And I was miffed. And so there it was. And a few days later, I got a little card in the mail. Can you hear it? How can you stay mad at somebody when they're going to send you a stupid card like that? I mean, really? That was not playing fair. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You know, sometimes it's a silly little thing. Sometimes it's a sweet little thing. Sometimes it's just humbling yourself and saying, "I was wrong. I am so sorry." Build a bridge. And what? Get over it. Good girls. Next one is be gentle. Be gentle. Be sweet. Showing all humility at all times. I will read some lessons that I learned from my dog. When a loved one comes home, always run to greet them. That's what dogs do. Don't make your husband's best friend his dog. We need to be friendly when people come home. Never pass up the opportunity to go for a joyride. Take naps, stretch before rising. Avoid biting when a simple growl will do. And don't pout. Run right back and make friends. Okay, let's say this. Don't pout. Run right back and make friends. Be loyal. Never pretend to be something you're not. And when someone is having a bad day, be silent, sit close, and hug them. Dogs know how to do that. We need to be sweet, with all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived. You know what? When somebody hurts your feelings, somebody let you down, somebody did a wrong thing, don't you ever think that you've ever done that to anybody else, really? Don't you think you've ever disappointed the Lord and let him down? Why do we just keep building a big case? We need to build a bridge, and get over it. So I want us to close our eyes. And I believe that the Lord wants to plant some seeds, some stir up some seeds. He wants to fan into flame some things in our lives. He wants to shine his light during this next season. Ashley, you want to come on up, you girls? And so let's just sit before the Lord. And I'm going to read this one more time. And I believe that he wants to personalize it. He wants to be so specific. But we have the choice to grab hold of it. Don't be the Dead Sea. You need an outlet. You need to pour sweetness. When people are grumpy, when people are stressed, when people bite you, you don't even need to growl. No growling. Be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable. Be gentle, girls. Be gentle, showing all humility to all men. But when the kindness and the love of our Savior toward men appeared, he poured out on us abundantly. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us, use us, and fill us with your Holy Spirit.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a Spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes us whole. So carry your candle, run to the darkness, sing out the hopeless, confused and torn.
Why don't you stand up and let's sing this song. Let's shine the light now.
Go light your world. Take your candle. Go light your world. Frustrated brother, see how he's trying to light his own candle some other way.
All your heart now.
Hold out your candle for all to see it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you can fuel us, fire us up, and just make us shine. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're done with Bible study, but you're not done with the... Woohoo! Hey, group time.